You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You want a war? You're gonna get one.
Now get the gun!
Hey yo, Reliving the War, episode 189, the 21st of June, 1999. Raw takes place in Memphis, Tennessee, while Nitro takes place in New Orleans, Louisiana. Quick update, guys, I decided on a whim to go to WrestleMania this year. Steve Blackman's going to be at WrestleCon, and I'm hoping being in his general radius is going to give me some godlike superpowers. So Reliving the War is going to take a short break soon. Now, I'm only gone for a week, but I'll need to play catch up when I get back. Plus, I need to give my Patreon supporters a chance to see Reliving the War early. So it'll likely be 2 weeks with no Reliving the War getting uploaded to YouTube, but other videos are going to get uploaded in its place, including something I've wanted to cover for a long time. I'm still trying to figure out the best way to do this without disturbing the YouTube schedule too much, but leave it with me and I'll update you guys closer to the time. To recap, Reliving the War is going to take a short break. You're going to get some good videos in its place, I promise. So in early April, if you see folks commenting about the lack of Raw vs. Nitro videos, please point them to this little announcement right here. Also, rest assured that the second donation to the Owen Hart Foundation will get made in the midst of all this planning, and just like last time, I'll post the amount and receipts to my community page here on YouTube and on my Twitter page. This week's Jam Up guys are Mike and Tiffany from Portland, Oregon. They sent me a really nice email while letting me know all about Wedgehead, a wrestling-themed pinball bar that they attend frequently. The email Mike and Tiffany sent was very complimentary and they really brightened up my day. So thanks guys, and I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of Reliving the War. Team Madness, which now includes Big Sid, arrived in Nitro in a black Hummer. They walk out of frame just as Kevin Nash pulls up to the arena, and when the world champ approaches the Hummer, it drives off into the night. So maybe it wasn't Sid driving the Hummer 2 weeks ago on Nitro, who knows? Though I fully expect to get the answers I'm looking for on Nitro tonight, yeah. After the commentators open the show and after they talk about Master P, we see Lodi giving Lenny Lane a massage. Lenny thinks he can beat Ming tonight because he knows he can last a long time and he's got great stamina, and Lenny's also very impressed with Lodi's massage skills. You know what they're getting at here, you don't need me to spell it out. The in-ring action starts off with a bang as Billy Kidman takes on Psychosis in the Nitro opening match. Kidman cools Psychosis down early on with a head scissor takedown before delivering a springboard crossbody to the outside. His superplex gets countered back inside the ropes, though he is able to come back with a jumping clothesline. Psychosis then gets a chance to show off his high-risk abilities with an Arabian press moonsault to the outside. You don't see that too often. And Psychosis follows this up with a top rope hurricane rana when the action gets back inside the ring. Great work from both men here. Unfortunately, we don't get a clear winner. Billy counters a powerbomb attempt as usual and he goes up for the shooting star. Macho Sid and the rest of Team Madness then hit the ring, and these two guys who worked so hard in the opening match get their asses kicked. Sting ends up coming down to help the Cruiserweights, and Team Madness are quick to get out of harm's way. But then world champion Kevin Nash appears and he's got a perplexed look on his face. Nash gets in the ring and he wonders why Sting didn't put a hand on Sid and Savage just now when he had a chance to do so. Sting didn't seem to be in a hurry to get to Team Madness. Nash also brings up that the Stinger appeared from a black Hummer last week when he attacked Rick Steiner, so clearly Big Kev thinks Sting was the guy behind the wheel. Sting says no, he wasn't driving the Hummer, and Nash says he isn't accusing the Stinger, but Franchise Boy here will have to answer to Big Kev if it turns out he was indeed the one who drove the Hummer into the limousine a few weeks ago. Ric Flair and Roddy Piper see this all go down, so they book a tag team main event match for Bash at the Beach. It's gonna be Kevin Nash and Sting versus Randy Savage and Sid Vicious. They also book a Sid versus Sting main event match for Nitro tonight. Lenny Lane then took on Ming, and Ming's rocking a sweet perm this week, looking good, Minger, looking good. That madman Lenny Lane actually tried to fight with Ming, and as you could easily guess, his efforts got him absolutely nowhere. This one ended with a top rope Tongan death grip, and even Lodi's presence on the outside couldn't help Mr. Lane. Master P and the No Limit Soldiers cut a promo on Nitro next, while Raw opens up with a Corporate Ministry promo. Triple H marches down to the ring and he wants to fight The Undertaker. It looks like this faction could very well be done for as the Dead Man makes his way down to the ring, but the Corporate Ministry show up to make sure these two don't rip each other's heads off. Mr. McMahon appreciates the spirit, but these two can't fight each other because this is just giving Austin, The Rock and the people exactly what they want. Vince says there won't be a Triple H vs Undertaker match tonight before changing the subject of the King of the Ring pay-per-view this Sunday. He says Undertaker's gonna crush The Rock in their title match, China's gonna become the first ever Queen of the Ring, and McMahon then talks about the current CEO, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Vince says he and Shane are still planning on putting up their company's stock in a ladder match this Sunday. The McMahons understand the ladder of success, and Stone Cold's gonna be right at the bottom of that ladder at King of the Ring. Stone Cold then appears at the entranceway, he sets up a ladder, he has a drink, and he says, as CEO of WWF, he accepts this winner-take-all match at the pay-per-view, and Vince and Shane are the two sorriest bastard employees Austin's ever had. Austin says the McMahons will be disqualified if any member of the corporation interferes in this upcoming ladder match. Vince says it's no holds barred, so that little stipulation isn't gonna work. So here comes Commissioner Shawn Michaels rising from the brood's little platform to sort this mess out. The Stooges come out to bring Shawn a coffee, an action that infuriates Vince, and Shawn decides to book Stone Cold Steve Austin in a match tonight. It'll be Stone Cold versus a member of the corporation selected by Vince. If Stone Cold wins, there's no interference allowed at King of the Ring. If the corporation wins, then they can do whatever they want in that King of the Ring main event. Vince selects The Undertaker for this upcoming match, but HBK says the Dead Man's already booked tonight. Shane selects Triple H, but Hunter's booked too apparently. As a matter of fact, The Undertaker's defending his WWF title against Triple H tonight on Raw, so Vince chooses the Big Boss Man, and Michaels then reveals that he's gonna be the special referee for that match. Stone Cold leaves, and Shawn then announces a Stooges vs Vince and Shane match for Raw tonight. Patterson and Briscoe then do their best Shawn Michaels impersonations, and this pisses Vince off even more. So McMahon sends the Corporate Ministry up the ramp to get these guys. Ken Shamrock then gets in the ring and he whacks Viscera with a steel chair. The McMahons get out of harm's way, and the opening promo comes to an end. So that's our Raw semi-main and main event matches laid out for us. It only took 20 minutes of runtime. Backstage, Jeff Jarrett's trying to get out of an IC title defense, but Shawn's having none of it. Double J didn't bring his ring gear, but Shawn doesn't care. And we see Vince McMahon trying to keep the Corporate Ministry together, but Midian wants to know if he can take Shane McMahon's spare belt that he found while rummaging through Shane's bag. Shane's like, yeah, whatever. On Nitro, Master P wants to hold a birthday celebration for his little brother. Percy says it's Lil Silk the Shocker's birthday today, and all these wrestling fans should stop what they're doing right now and show some appreciation to this little dude. Master P asks, who know how it go? And this fella here apparently knows how it go. So he gets in the ring and he sings happy birthday while the audience looks on in bewilderment. By the way, little trivia for you here, Silk the Shocker performed MVP's theme song in WWE.
I'm
Kurt Hennig walks down the ramp, and Master P's already forgotten Kurt's name, so he refers to him throughout this whole promo as Cowboy. Kurt has a birthday present for Silk. He says he appreciates Master P's music and he wants to give this present over as a peace offering. And look, it's a brand new cowboy hat. Silk takes the hat and he says he always wanted to be a cowboy, and just as Kurt was about to talk about diversity, Silk begins stomping on Kurt's generous gift. Master P then decides to smash the birthday cake into Kurt's face. Embarrassed by what just happened, Kurt tries to get in the ring, but again he gets smacked in the face with more cake, and Hennig then walks back up the ramp while the No Limit soldiers continue their birthday celebration while the crowd remains silent. I know there's Master P fans out there, you all made that fucking clear, but no one can say this is going well. Much respect for Master P getting a cool 1 million total for these appearances, but as it pertains to converting that cash into television ratings and more eyes on WCW, it was a colossal waste of Ted Turner's money. You're lying to yourself if you think otherwise. We have Ken Shamrock vs. Test vs. Jeff Jarrett on Raw for the IC title. On Nitro, Eddie Guerrero returns to take on Juventud Guerrera. So Double J has to face two members of the Union, and Pat Patterson confirms that this is an IC title match as per orders from Commissioner Michaels. The Union work together early in the match, but they break each other's covers when trying to claim the IC Championship. Instead of letting these two fight, Jeff goes after Kenny Boy, and when he tries a figure four, Test almost takes his head off with a clothesline. Double J takes a big boot, Shamrock stops Test from performing his big elbow drop, Jarrett gets back into it with a DDT to Kenny Boy, and this leads to Test and Double J fighting on the outside of the ring.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
He's back, ladies and gents, and he's attacking Ken Shamrock with a kendo stick. Heel Steve Blackman is here, folks, and let me explain. Steve watched what happened on Nitro. He's a big fan of rap music, and we all know country music is Steve's kryptonite. Steve knows this Kurt Hennig vs. Master P feud is going to start an all-out war, and country music is going to play every week on Nitro, so he's super, super pissed off because he knows his time on this earth is now limited. If Kurt plays country music live, or God forbid, he brings out a music video, then Steve Blackman could very well perish, so he's taking out his frustrations on his old student. That's what really happened, guys. Double J steals a pinfall win, and Jeff Jarrett is still our IC champion. Eddie Guerrero returns to Nitro by slapping Hoovy in the face, and it looks like Guerrero's in incredible shape as he goes to work on his opponent. He performs a tilt-a-whirl backbreaker, and it looks like Juventud's already done for, but Hoovy summons his inner Billy Kidman when countering a powerbomb attempt. Guerrero replies with a back suplex, and we go to the outside where Eddie stays firmly in control. He's established himself as a heel again, and already the fans are chanting Eddie sucks. It's like he was never gone. After a commercial break, Eddie misses a slingshot senton, but he does kick out of Hoovy's incredibly fast sunset flip. Juventud then takes Guerrero down, but Latino Heat answers with a brainbuster. Everything is super fast here, and no Hoovy botches so far. Guerrero applies a sleeper, but he takes a bulldog when Hoovy frees himself. Hoovy pulls off a missile dropkick that sends Eddie to the outside. A dive over the top rope sends Eddie into the guardrail, but Hoovy ends up losing the match after Eddie modifies the gory special into a spinning neckbreaker. Eddie then performs the frog splash, and Guerrero wins a good match here on Monday Nitro. I realized when watching this match how much I missed Eddie on WCW every week. It's great to have him back because the company really needs all the help it can get right now. The Rock takes on Edge next over on Raw's War. On Nitro, it's Ernest Miller versus Prince Iaukea. I know I wanted Ernest Miller to face new opponent, so I guess my wish has been granted. Lucky me. Ernest gives Iaukea 5 seconds to leave before he sticks his shoe up the Prince's rear end. And by the way, I read your comments about the illegal shoe possibly being a tap dancing shoe, or maybe it's a loaded shoe with some metal attached to the bottom. It looks like a pretty normal shoe to me, guys, but I appreciate the possible explanations. The cat threw a drink all over Iaukea, and the owner of said drink had mixed emotions. When it gets in the ring, the cat pulls off what can only be described as a funky chop, but Iaukea replies with a Samoan drop. The cat puts on the shoe, and here's where your theories get thrown out the window, guys. This time, he kicks his opponent in the face, and it's the vamp that makes the contact and not the heel. A tap dancing shoe or a loaded shoe wouldn't have anything heavy here. A steel toe cap wouldn't be useful with this kind of kick either. And I can't believe I'm actually talking about this. Ernest Miller wins, moving on. The Rock says he'll go to the learning tree just like The Undertaker said he would last week. He'll take a branch from the tree, remove the leaves, and then proceed to stick the branch up The Undertaker's candy ass. That's something I don't want to think about. As The Rock and Edge begin sharing right hands, Jim Ross says he's got some news later in regards to the Georgia Dome in Atlanta. Sounds like the WWF are going to walk right into WCW's backyard for a pay-per-view, or maybe even Raw. Rock hits his float over DDT and he lays the smackdown in the corner after Edge kicks out. Rock then performs a suplex, but Edge counters a back suplex and the Great One takes a swinging neckbreaker. Edge puts Rock down with a missile dropkick before signaling for the end, but Rock catches Edge out and the fans get treated to a rock bottom. The People's Elbow puts Edge away for the 1-2-3, and then The Undertaker runs down to get a piece of his upcoming King of the Ring opponent. Rock gets tombstoned. Clearly the dead man didn't want any branches near his candy ass, but Undertaker also broke the golden rule, so we should expect to see Rocky again a little later on. Backstage, Mr. McMahon's trying to keep Triple H calm, but Hunter says he's gonna win the WWF title later on tonight. Vince is getting desperate to keep the corporate ministry together, but it looks like the faction's on its last legs. We've got Mark Henry versus Big Viscera on Raw. On Nitro, Booker T versus Chris Kenyon. This Nitro match sounds good, and it's also been given a decent amount of time. Definitely looking forward to this one. Chris asks who better than Kenyon, and when the crowd says everybody, Chris says these people must be drunk. The two lock up and Booker schools Kenyon with arm drags and hip tosses. Kenyon gets a little frustrated, but he turns it around with a cheap shot during a clean break. Booker replies instantly with a dropkick, some bird in the audience has found herself in a torture rack, and Booker keeps the pressure on just before commercial break with his signature running forearm. We come back to see Booker laying in some mounted punches, but Kenyon's able to duck a kick when Booker tries firing up again. Kenyon lifts Booker up in the powerbomb position and you hate to see it sometimes, don't you? Kenyon tries to make up for this with a neckbreaker and a scoop slam. He then hits a second rope elbow drop and he applies a reverse Boston crab. When Booker gets out of this hold, we go to the outside and it's Kenyon who ends up getting punished here. Booker then goes for a sunset flip from the apron, but Kenyon brilliantly counters with a Northern Light suplex. And after stretching his opponent out for a bit, Chris delivers a vertical suplex and a slingshot elbow drop. Booker then counters a back suplex by shifting his weight in midair, but he takes a clothesline before Kenyon applies a chin lock. That no good Nick Patrick ties his shoelace while the most dangerous move in pro wrestling gets applied. When the two get up, we see a Russian leg sweep from Kenyon, followed by chin lock number 2. Booker breaks free, Kenyon takes a kick in the corner, followed by a spinning back kick. Booker then performs a flapjack, followed by the Harlem sidekick. And just when Booker was going up for the Heatseeker, DDP runs down and we have got ourselves a DQ finish. Bigelow shows up too, and the triad do a number on Booker. Even Nick Patrick takes a diamond cutter here, and it ends with Booker taking the Asbury Park cutter as the crowd show their displeasure. A decent match here, it could have been better, but I still enjoyed it. On Raw, this Mark Henry vs. Viscera bout is a gorilla slam match. The first man to get slammed loses. Viscera's first off his feet after Mark performs a jumping shoulder tackle, and Mark then tries a body slam but he's unable to do it. Big Vis then misses an elbow drop, and for some reason Mark decides this is a great opportunity to try a top rope move. You know what happens next. Vis wakes up, he throws Mark off the top rope, and this is going to count as a slam, so Viscera wins. After the match, Viscera decides to go upstairs himself, so D'Lo comes down to make sure his friend doesn't get squished. Mark and D'Lo throw Viscera off the top turnbuckle, but then Midian shows up with Shane's European title. Shane wanted to retire the belt and be forever known as the final European champion, but this is the belt Midian was talking about earlier on, and it looks like Midian is now the holder of the European title. Jim Ross struggles on commentary when trying to remember the name of the belt, though I'm fairly sure this was intentional. Backstage, Beaver Cleavage gets interviewed for his upcoming match against Mate, and Beaver decides to walk off mid-promo.
I can't do this.
Chaz, we're live, Chaz. Chaz.
We come back and the commentators say this is live TV and anything can happen, so the Beaver Cleavage versus Mate match has been cancelled. This was a work, by the way, just for those who didn't know. Steve Austin takes on the Big Boss Man next on Raw. On Nitro, we've got a Ric Flair and Roddy Piper promo. Instead of getting a cheap pop, Piper gets some cheap heat by going after the New Orleans Saints. He then wants to address what he calls the Y2K kids, the whiners and complainers of WCW. Roddy shows us his best Buff Bagwell imitation before saying he's tired of Buff Daddy and he'll slap the snot out of Bagwell if Buff steps up to the hot rod. Flair says he detests Buff Bagwell, he's a punk who walked in the back door with his hand open looking for a free ride. Nate then gets distracted by fans at ringside before telling everyone that Bagwell's girlfriend paid Rick a visit last night, wondering why they called the Nature Boy Space Mountain. When Rick showed her, he almost died on top of Mrs. Bagwell. So here comes Buff Bagwell, all annoyed that his missus got it on with Slick Rick. Both Piper and Flair beat Bagwell up, and Rick then reveals that Buff's going to face Piper and Flair in a 2-on-1 match right now on Nitro. We'll come back to this in a moment because over on the USA Network, HBK's made his way out to the ring to officiate our next Raw match. Stone Cold hits Bossman with a right hand and Bubba decides to get out of the ring. The McMahons then show up holding a ladder, but they quickly escape when Stone Cold runs up the entranceway. Bossman gets hit with a ladder before the match gets back in the ring, but the McMahons come back and they bring their corporate ladder down to ringside. Shane goes on commentary and McMahon stands on the ladder of success while Austin and Bossman fight in the audience. But Stone Cold keeps the Bossman down and this gives the Rattlesnake a chance to push McMahon off that ladder. The crowd pops as McMahon crashes on the announce table. The match resumes in the ring as Vince gets back to his feet. Bossman applies a deadly nerve pinch and Vince takes a seat while complaining about Stone Cold. Austin frees himself and a double clothesline leads to both competitors hitting the mat hard, and Vince has now grabbed a headset and he's telling everyone that this SOB Steve Austin's gonna pay this Sunday at King of the Ring. Bossman misses a leapfrog body guillotine and Austin replies with a few right hands. We then see the Luthez press and the crowd's going crazy right about now, but they go a little quiet when Bossman dodges a stunner and the Rattlesnake takes a big boot. Michaels has a word with Vince McMahon and Bossman tries to use his nightstick, but Stone Cold tries a stunner once again and this time Bossman goes down. Stone Cold wins via pinfall and that means the corporation can't interfere this Sunday at King of the Ring. The Bossman and the McMahons head back up the ramp while Austin says Vince and Shane are next. HBK and the CEO then have a few beers just before Raw takes a commercial break, and when we come back, we see the corporation giving Bossman a beating for failing to win his match against Stone Cold. Corporate unity seems less and less likely as this episode of Raw continues on. Next on Raw, we've got Val Venus versus Prince Albert and a six-man tag featuring X-Pac, Kane and Road Dogg taking on the Acolytes and Billy Gunn. On Nitro, Buff Bagwell faces Roddy Piper and Ric Flair. After a rocky start, Buff's able to put Rick down with a back body drop, but Mr. Bagwell quickly realizes that this is more like a 3-on-1 match when the Enforcer tries to attack on the outside. Arn also gets on the apron when the action gets back inside the ropes, but Buff does a pretty good job at keeping all three men at bay. Claire refocuses as Buff poses. Piper has to save Rick from a figure four attempt before tagging in. But Bagwell's making these two legends look like chumps as Roddy Piper also gets put in his place. We go to the mat for some good old chin abuse. The two get up and the vice president locks in his signature sleeper hold. Bagwell begins fading away, but miraculously he fights out of the sleeper and Roddy takes a low blow. Flair's back in now and the first thing he tries is a top rope move. He also tries a figure four, but that doesn't work out too well either. He goes up and over the top turnbuckle and he decides to tag out, but not before hitting Bagwell with a low blow, a punch to Bagwell's bag. Piper's a bit more successful this time around, and Dean Malenko decides to run down to make this a 2-on-2 match. He tries to get at Flair and Piper, but Mickey J holds him back, so he stands on the apron, and there's no complaints here from Piper nor Flair. This is now a traditional tag match. The Iceman gets tagged in and there's a small botch when he tries to backdrop Flair. He makes up for it moments later though and Dean's able to take everyone out including Arn Anderson, but the match ends when Arn gets back in the ring and Dean locks him in a cloverleaf. While this is going on, Piper digs into the darkest region of his blue wrestling trunks to produce those brass knucks that don't look like brass knucks but we'll call them brass knucks anyway, and Buff Bagwell gets clocked. Flair gets the pinfall win, Dean thinks he's won via submission even though the enforcer wasn't part of this match, and there you go, the old guard wins again. Not a bad TV match honestly, I mean when you know what they expect and you just watch it for what it is, it really wasn't that bad. We've got two short matches next on Raw. Prince Albert comes to the ring with his little tattoo kit, but Venus launches an attack before Albert makes it to the ring. By the way, Venus got his nose pierced a few weeks ago on Heat thanks to Albert and Draws, and that's why this match is taking place. Draws gets handcuffed to the ring post, and Venus hits Albert almost instantly with a money shot. Albert then gets handcuffed to the ropes, and Val decides to tattoo his initials into Albert's ass cheek. It looks more like a W, but this isn't a W, mate, it's a big L. The six-man tag that followed lasted 1 minute and 10 seconds. The entrances were longer than the match itself, but at least we got to hear Billy Gunn's "I'm a nice man" incredible theme music. X-Pac wanted the Acolytes to put the tag belts on the line and Billy Gunn accepts on behalf of Farouk and Bradshaw, and the match begins with a six-man brawl inside the ring. X-Pac goes for a Bronco Buster and he misses. This gives Billy Gunn the opportunity to grab a tag belt, but X-Pac recovers and Billy gets kicked in the face. Our match then comes to an abrupt end when Bradshaw gets launched over the top rope and Billy hits Kid with a Famouser when Kid was bending down to pick the belt up. After getting the pinfall win, Billy walks back up the ramp with one of the Acolytes championship belts, and Bradshaw doesn't look too happy about it either. During this match, Jim Ross announced that the WWF is indeed heading to WCW's home turf. The Georgia Dome's going to host Raw on the 11th of October 1999. In more important news though, GTV caught Al Snow picking his nose and eating his snot. I could have skipped over this, but I thought you should know. More short matches on Raw next. Big Show vs Hardcore Holly and the Stooges vs Vincent Shane. On Nitro, Conan and Ray take on the Jersey Triad. Brad Armstrong's now part of the No Limit Soldiers. He's now known as BA, which stands for Brad Armstrong. And this other geezer right here is Chase Tatum, just in case you get asked this one day in a general knowledge quiz. Kenyon, DDP and Bigelow are defending the belts tonight thanks to a variation of the Freebird rule granted upon the Triad by Ric Flair. This means the third Triad member standing on the floor can jump on the apron at any time and get tagged in, but one member of the Triad must always be on the floor. DDP manhandles Rey Mysterio before delivering a gutbuster. Bam Bam then chokes Rey out at the ring ropes. Kenyon has a few words with Chase on the outside as Rey begins fighting back inside the ring, and DDP goes down after a springboard dropkick. Conan comes in and he helps Rey out with another dropkick before going to work on Paige. We see the rolling lariat before Paige tags in Chris, but here comes Rey again with a springboard leg drop. Bam Bam gets taken out by Rey too, but this gives Paige a chance to hurt Rey at the ring steps. Bigelow then launches Rey back in the ring just before we go to commercial break, and when we come back we've got DDP performing a Tilt-A-World sidewalk slam on Mysterio. Conan gets the hot tag and he puts Kenyon down with a float over Bulldog. Rey hits a Bronco Buster on DDP. Kenyon puts K-Dog's fire out with a clothesline though, and Bam Bam Bigelow tags in, meaning DDP is now standing on the floor. Bigelow doesn't do a whole lot. He and DDP choke Conan out at the ropes before the big man tags out again. Bigelow heads to the floor and Dallas gets on the apron, so we've now got Kenyon and Rey Mysterio in the ring very briefly. In comes Paige with an elbow drop before Konnan gets locked in the chancery. Kenyon then tries to end it with a moonsault, but he completely misses his target. Rey gets the final tag of the match and he once again takes out every member of the Jersey Triad. And just when Konnan delivers the K-Factor Facebuster, Kurt Hennig, Barry Windham, Bobby Duncan Jr. and Kendall Windham hit the ring to cause a DQ finish. These four men would make up the West Texas Rednecks and they want to go to war with the No Limit Soldiers. Chris Benoit and Perry Saturn run down to go after the Triad and all hell breaks loose around the ringside area. Master Percy runs down too with more of his No Limit Soldiers and the fight ends with Percy grabbing a microphone.
Watching the back of Rey Jr. and
but it shows you how tough he is. It shows you he walked right in.
The Big Show comes to the ring on Raw for his match against Hardcore Holly. Holly says he's the big shot who doesn't like the Big Show. Holly actually thinks the Big Show sucks, and he wants to make this one a hardcore match. Holly berates Show a little more before the match begins on the rampway. A big right hand knocks Holly to the floor, and the two then begin traveling to the backstage area. In the back, Big Show continues to destroy Bombastic Bob. Holly does try throwing a trash can and he ends up hitting the cameraman, and we end up outside the arena where Holly gets thrown into a wall. Show then walks up a few steps where a car's parked. He then pushes the car over the edge and it lands on Bombastic Bob. And I don't know, guys, does this count as attempted murder? Big Show wins via pinfall and Holly gets scraped off the floor with a very big spatula. The McMahons then come to the ring for their match against Pat Patterson and Jerry Briscoe. The Stooges are still using Real American as their theme song and Jerry Lawler says the music makes him want to throw up. JR says he lost his lunch when he heard it 10 years ago. The Stooges start off strong and the crowd pop as the McMahons get wrecked, but it doesn't take long for Vince and Shane to turn it around, and when Patterson starts getting the better of Vince, Mr. McMahon hits a low blow. Ken Shamrock then runs down to the ring and Shane performs a chop lock on the world's most dangerous man. This leads to Vince making a quick escape as his son takes a belly-to-belly suplex. Vince has left Shane high and dry and the Stooges are looking at an easy victory, but then...
Had sex, I haven't felt great. It felt so good when I did it with my penis. A girl let me do it, it literally just happened. Having sex can make a nice man out the meanest. Oh, hey.
The Mean Street Posse are here and they've got a new member. Say hello to Joey Abs. Joey was not a childhood friend of Shane McMahon in real life, but unlike Rodney and Pete Gass, he did have a pro wrestling background. Joey grabs a chair and both Pat Patterson and Jerry Briscoe get Pillmanized. Never has the Main Street Posse been so dangerous. Rodney, Pete Gass and Joey Abs carry Shane back up the ramp, and it's now time for this week's main events. Raw's headline with an Undertaker vs Triple H WWF title match. On Nitro, we've got Sid Vicious vs the man called Sting. Sid comes out with no entrance music, though still looking as mean as ever. Here we go then, it's Sid's first ever match on Nitro, but not his first match in WCW of course. Sting and Sid know each other quite well, and Sting's able to dodge a big club and blow in the corner. Here comes Macho Man and Team Madness for crying out loud. Sting protests, but the referee's letting these guys stay. As soon as the match resumes, Savage grabs Sting from the outside and Sid gets in a free shot and the crowd are now chanting for Goldberg. Fans have been chanting Goldberg's name for weeks now, but he hasn't been on TV for quite some time. It does suck though that this has already devolved into a typical Nitro main event match with interference and Sting has no choice but to try and fight through it. Though Sid's being extra vicious tonight and he hits Sting with a big boot. Medusa gets in on the action from the outside. Stinger takes another big boot to the head, followed by another in the midsection. When Sting tries to fire up, he gets put down with a lariat, but when Sid goes for one more kick, the icon moves out of the way, and Sid finds himself perched on the top rope. We see a Stinger splash, the crowd goes wild, and then they start booing when Macho Man runs in to cause another DQ finish. We knew it was gonna happen. Sting gets set up for a powerbomb, but Lex Luger runs down to save his friend. A shame he couldn't show up at the Great American Bash though, eh? Macho grabs a microphone and he says Lex is brushing up next to a dead man. Team Madness won't stop until both these guys are nothing but victims, and there's nothing Lex and Sting can do about it. Sid says Lex and Sting are gonna feel the madness, so Sting decides to join D-Generation X.
We got two words for ya!
Triple H could leave Raw tonight with his first ever WWF Championship win. Undertaker gets in a cheap shot at the opening bell, the two then trade punches in the corner. The dead man goes for a chokeslam early, but he has to settle for a clothesline instead. China watches on as Undertaker softens up the arm, so you know what's coming next. The Phenom performs old school, but it looks like he jacked his knee after landing on the canvas. Hunter smells blood and he goes in for the kill, so we fall into the pretty standard Undertaker routine with the champ's opponent aiming for the leg and knee. Paul Bearer looks concerned as Triple H goes to work, and China even gets in on the action too. To make up for this, Paul attacks Hunter and the challenger gets thrown into the barrier, and the Undertaker then shares punches and kicks with Hunter before the two get back in the ring. Hunter takes the Flair corner bump as the commentators promote the matches we're going to see this week at King of the Ring. Triple H then wraps Taker's leg around the ring post and he resumes his focused attack in the ring, and Hunter then applies a figure four leg lock. Taker gets out by grabbing Hunter's neck and Hunter goes up for a chokeslam. China then gets in the ring with a steel chair and Undertaker blocks her attack. Hunter then stops the Undertaker from using the chair on him, and that's when The Rock runs down to hit Undertaker with a rock bottom. So many DQs this week. A smoking Brahma Bull logo then begins descending from the ceiling as Rock hits a people's elbow on Taker. The Great One puts the symbol in the ring and it looks like he wants to put the Undertaker on that thing, but the corporate ministry run down to save Undertaker and it looks like Rock's now in trouble. The big boss man shows up to help Rocky. It appears that boss man's now left the corporate ministry as he attacks Viscera with his nightstick, and as the corporate ministry leave the ring, they forget to bring Paul Bearer with them, and so Studly Paul gets strapped to the Brahma Bull. The Rock says the Brahma Bull's gonna stick his horns up the Undertaker's ass this week at King of the Ring, and Raw fades to black before we see Paul getting lifted into the air. It would have been a sight for sure, but I guess it was never planned to end that way. Well, I'll be damned, Nitro wins another episode of Reliving the War. The writing for last week's Raw and this week's Raw has been pretty abysmal, with actual in-ring action being seriously demoted. They tried to squeeze 9 matches onto this broadcast, and 7 of those were under 3.5 minutes long, and they spent another 20 minutes on corporate ministry promos, and that faction has seriously lost its shine over these past few weeks. Let's not forget Beaver Cleavage walking off and Al Snow picking his nose. Nitro didn't do too well in the promo department either, to be fair, but Guerrero vs. Hoovy, Kenyon vs. Booker T, and the Triad vs. Rey and Conan matches were all decent. So yeah, I personally preferred Nitro overall this week. Nitro's now on 73 points, Raw stays on 97, and we've got 19 ties on the board. In the TV ratings, Raw got a 6.0, Nitro scored a 3.1. King of the Ring is our next pay-per-view on Reliving the War, so come on over this Sunday and we'll see what happened in the Greensboro Coliseum. Quarterfinal matches include Big Show vs. Kane and Road Dogg vs. China, and we'll also see the winner-takes-all ladder match along with The Rock getting a shot at the Undertaker's WWF Championship. Sounds like a good one, and really, it can't be any worse than WCW's Great American Bash. I hope to see you this Sunday. Thank you so much for watching Reliving the War. Remember, there's going to be a short break at the beginning of April, so I appreciate you staying patient with me, and please take care.